SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. It is Craig Mishan, Davis Maddock with you here for the next hour, talking fantasy, reality, sports wagering with you. You can follow us on Twitter, at SportsGrid. Plenty to cover here on this hour. NASCAR preview coming up next. Razzball's Gray Albright on the latest in fantasy baseball as well. And Davis, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are running it back. A phrase that I didn't think I would say as much as I would in 2021. Didn't even know this phrase existed 2 years ago. But here the Bucs are bringing all of their offensive players back. Of course, Brady is back. Godwin is back. Are you kidding me? Leonard Fournette is back. When did all this happen?
Well, it basically kind of just slowly happened over the last two-ish weeks. Not only are all of their offensive starters back, but all 22 of their starters. So all their defensive starters are back as well. They re-signed Ndamukong Suh quietly to a contract extension. So, you know, God bless them. I certainly will be picking against them a lot. I think that, you know, that's just the way it goes. It's very hard to repeat as a Super Bowl champion, and the Buccaneers are big time juiced up in all of the futures lines, futures for that division, futures for the Super Bowl. You know, one thing I'm very excited for FanDuel to add as sports betting legalization sweeps across the United States of America is two-way markets, where you can bet on, yes, I think the Chiefs are winning the Super Bowl, or no, I won't. It's just a much more liquid way for markets to be provided. You'll get fairer odds that way. You'll get more action on both sides. And when those markets are available, I will definitely be betting against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, for baseball, they just have them out this week, teams to make the postseason or not. But the thing is we've learned this last year, Brett and I doing the show, is that out of the 30 teams, there's only, I mean, to really discuss them here on the show, there's only about 10, because most of the odds are minus 700 or plus 1,000, you know, and usually those are not ones that are going to come through. If you're interested in betting the Tigers or the Pirates or those, yeah, I mean, you got some great odds, but beyond that, got to really dig for those. So hopefully we'll have some of those in the NFL. Usually after the draft is when that gets done. So a little bit over a month away would be my guess. Here are our headlines here as we wrap up our week of shows with this hour. Boston at Milwaukee headlining tonight's 11-game NBA slate. Davis says he likes the Bucks minus the points. So check that one out tonight. Juan Soto yesterday, I was at this game. He left early in the game right after an at-bat. He had a long at-bat against Sixto Sanchez and ended in a walk. And Jeff Passan today of ESPN reported that he's perfectly fine and they just took him out for precautionary reasons. And I'll assume that is all it was. And I doubt we'll see Soto play today, but hopefully he gets in a game before the season opens next Thursday. 14 spring training games set to start now. Some day games. I know that there's night games. I'll be going to my final spring game tomorrow. And then the Sweet 16 in the NCAA tournament. Davis, you're the pro now here at our coverage on the Sweet 16. So we don't have to do this on fantasy or reality, but are you super engaged to the tournament games this weekend?
I will definitely be tuned in, but I'm gonna break some news here on the show. About 45 seconds ago, Adam okay. Schefter just tweeted that the Miami Dolphins are trading away their number 3 pick to the San Francisco 49ers for the number 12 pick and multiple future firsts. So the 49ers are trading up for a quarterback, right? They're going to go get Justin Fields, Zach Wilson, or Trey Lance. My guess is that it's actually probably Trey Lance for the 49ers. That's just a guess, though. No indication either way from the organization. But huge news there with the Dolphins trading away their pick and the 49ers going to go get a quarterback.
Yeah, and not only that, Davis, but I think that the other part of this is that I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I know that there's a lot of off-the-field stuff going on, and you don't want to assume that that all gets rectified. But if it did, and we played that game, this takes Miami out of Watson, right? Like, that pretty much eliminates them from any of the talks, doesn't it?
Yeah, because Houston would want to get a quarterback back with that pick. My sense with the Watson stuff is he is not going to play in 2021. And that, again, I don't know anything. You have the better sources than I do. But I think that he is not going to get moved. And I don't think that the Texans have – maybe he does get moved, but he certainly you know, I think that the Texans have lost all the leverage, and the amount of teams willing to give up a huge haul for him is just really diminished now.
Yeah, no, I got to do better research on that, and I will next week before we get back on the show here, and I'll find out. But that's really big news, as Davis just mentioned. The Dolphins, who, you know, some people thought Devonta Smith was one of the players that they were targeting very early on in that draft. If they didn't take a take another quarterback or trade the pick, no longer the case. And very clearly, the San Francisco 49ers, at the very least, are going to have a competition with Jimmy Garoppolo if Jimmy Garoppolo is back in San Francisco. As Davis said, Adam Schefter reports, the Niners now have the third overall pick in the 2021 NFL draft. For those of you who followed our draft coverage last year, it was kind of like our welcome back to fantasy and to reality and the sports wagering. We're going to cover the draft again for you this year, and we'll look forward to doing that in about a month from now. So stay tuned to that. We also have some fun coverage coming up with the Masters in a couple of weeks as well. But coming up next on our show, we pivot over to NASCAR and a big race coming up this weekend in Bristol, as they're going to be racing on the dirt, aptly called the Food City Dirt Race. It's this weekend, and Kyle Larson is the favorite. We'll ask Jim Sanis if any of these names, some of them you probably have never heard of, because it's such a different format racing this weekend. There could be some wild opportunities for you to make money on FanDuel. Gray Albright also joins us coming up, and then fantasy or reality. That's what we got cooking for you here on the second hour of the show. Once again, Dolphins trading third pick in the draft to the 49ers in 2021. Big trade. Be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today as we take a look at this weekend's big NASCAR race. Now, last week, unfortunately, we didn't have Jim Sanis on the show because we had the NCAA tournament and all of our March Madness coverage. So, Jim, before we get into the big race coming up at Bristol this weekend, I guess it's an obligatory question. Is there anyone left in a bracket of yours of any kind that has a chance to win the championship that isn't named Gonzaga?
So I decided, because I'm a Northwestern fan, and I root for the Big Ten because Northwestern's not in the tournament to root for, decided I would have the Big Ten teams go far. And I thought that, okay, you know, it's a tough conference. The seeding did have actual wins weighted in. Okay, maybe the Big Ten teams are underrated. Nope. So I had the luxury, Craig, of not paying attention and not caring about my bracket from Friday night on, because when Ohio State lost, I was like, okay, cool, I'm done. So it's actually been a bit liberating to not have to worry about it. So I guess that's the way I'm coping, is by saying it's liberating when in actuality just full on dead inside at this point.
Yeah. This year was just so different for me. I really lost touch a little with college basketball this season. This is the first time ever, I'm embarrassed to say this here, Greg Sussman's going to get mad at me, I didn't even check my standings on how I'm even doing in our sports group bracket. I just knew that once BYU went out, I was like dead. I was like playing this whole Gonzaga's going to play BYU narrative again and maybe get even type thing, and I just knew I was done at that point.
I don't think Greg will be too mad because he got the Maryland win. So at least like he's in a good mood. So if he does hear it, it's not going to matter. He's in a good enough mood with the Maryland win where you should be fine.
Yeah. Okay. Hopefully so. Let him know here. Well, yeah. I guess you just did, Jim. Thank you. Yeah. For that. All right, so this weekend, look, they're at Bristol this weekend. It's the Food City Dirt Race, and certainly, Jim, before we get into the odds over on FanDuel, I'd love your opinion here on this, because this is going to be a little bit unique, I think, for people who are watching this weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be weird. That's the word I would use, is very weird. And from like a fan perspective, I was a little bit annoyed they decided to do this at Bristol, because it meant they were taking away one of the better races on the schedule. And like, I don't want that to take away from this weekend. Like, I am excited to watch a dirt race, excited to see something very different. The heat races on Saturday should be really cool. So a little bit annoyed that we lose Bristol as an actual race, but I mean, I'm just going to enjoy it for this weekend. I think it's going to be fascinating for betting, because we actually have practice once again this week for the first time outside of Daytona since the COVID-19 pandemic began. We have qualifying via the heat races too. So it's a very different format than what we've had recently. It means we should have good data to go with after practice happens later this weekend.
All right. And make sure you follow Jim on Twitter at Jim Sanis, all of his work over at NumberFire to help you win on the NASCAR circuit each and every week. Here are the odds over on FanDuel this weekend. If you're planning on betting the race before we get into DFS, let's look at the wagering opportunities here. Kyle Larson is +260 to win the race. Christopher Bell is 6-1. We have Chase Briscoe at 10-1 and Austin Dillon at 10-1. Chase Elliott 13-1 and Stuart Friesen is 14-1. So if I thought that the race is going to look odd, I think these odds look odd. I mean, I don't remember ever seeing some of these names near the top. And it just goes to show you, Jim, you need to have awareness as to who is going to race better on the dirt. I think that's my huge takeaway from looking at those odds.
It is. And I think that these are like, I think irritating is the word that I would use when looking at the odds board for this week, because the narrative you could play and the angle you could take is, okay, I want to go to drivers with really good dirt backgrounds and bet them. The two guys who stand out there who had really good equipment are Kyle Larson and Christopher Bell, and obviously bookmakers are pretty savvy to what's going on here. I think that Larson and Bell should be the big time favorites for this week. They are two of the best dirt racers in the nation, as Larson showed last year when he was suspended from the Cup Series. He won basically everything. Christopher Bell, longtime dirt racer, very good driver. They should be the favorites. What that does is it makes it tougher for me to dive into other outrights. I think that they deserve to be prohibitive favorites for this week. But I think that the other thing we're seeing in these odds, we're seeing a lot of the dirt track ringers, like Friesen you mentioned, Chris Windham is in there, a couple other guys as well. We're seeing short numbers on them. And I think that what that's doing is creating some value in drivers who may not have gotten as big of a bump for their dirt racing background, potentially betting them. I think the main benefactor of that is Tyler Reddick. He is 20-1 at FanDuel Sportsbook. He is similar to Bell and Larson, where he has a good background in dirt track racing. He did run the Truck Series race at Eldora back in, I think it was 2015 to 2017. And he finished 11th, 3rd, and 5th in those races, which is, it's fine. He raced against Bell twice, and Bell beat him both times. He actually won one of the races, I think was 2nd in the other one. Reddick was 3rd and 5th in those two races. So you'd say, okay, Reddick probably can't beat Bell. Why would I bet him? But it's important to remember the context. Those races took place in Tyler Reddick's age 18, 19, and 20 season. Bell was young too, but he's 3 years older than Reddick. So you have to adjust for that. Reddick is older now, more experienced. We've seen him run really well on tracks with heavy tire wear like Homestead, which is probably what we'll see this weekend. A lot of slick racing, a lot of sideways type stuff. I think that benefits guys like Tyler Reddick, who run well at Darlington and Homestead. So to me, I think that Reddick is the one guy I'd bet right now. He's 20-1 to win. I would bet him right now. For everybody else, Craig, I'm probably staying away until practice occurs Friday afternoon and Friday evening. Get that data. It means I will get a worse number on these guys than what they're at right now.
Sure.
But I do want to get that read on who is fast, because I don't want to just waste money trying to beat the market. I want to make sure I'm betting guys who can actually win, and Friday will give me a good indication of who can actually do that.
All right, so look, for the first time in a while, this makes sense, and I'll tell you guys what to do before we get to the DFS. Follow Jim on Twitter, at Jim Sanis. He puts out great content. He'll let you know how to find all his visit information. And of course, over at NumberFire is where he breaks it down. Sometimes the data comes in later on in the week. Nothing wrong with doing that if you're betting or playing over on FanDuel, whether it's the DFS side or the betting. All right, so now over to DFS we go. Let's see if we can get any preliminary information, Jim, on what you may be thinking this weekend with some of the pricing. And we have Larson's at 14,000. Bell, who was 6-1 to win the race, is 13,500. Chase Elliott is at 13,000. Ryan Blaney, 12,500. Bush is at 12,000, and we have Denny Hamlin at 11,500. We could even go further with Logano and Truex Jr. So when you're building this week, what are the options here? How do you dig into this?
I think this is where you get your exposure to Larson and Bell, because they are, you know, the betting odds are tough and it's tough to get to them. But like, it doesn't matter as much in DFS, because the separation between them and the pack from a DFS perspective is pretty small. Like, Larson's at $14,000, Bell's at $13,500, and you got Chase Elliott at $13,000. That gap's not that big. Mm-hmm. So I think that if you're trying to get financial exposure to Kyle Larson, Christopher Bell, this is where you do so. It does depend on how things play out in the heat races on Saturday night, because that will help set the starting order. And there are enough laps here where you can target drivers starting wherever. They can get place differential points, or they can lead you laps. But I think that if you're looking for ways to get financial exposure to Kyle Larson, Christopher Bell, this is where I'd be looking to get it. As far as other drivers who are names to keep an eye on throughout practice on Friday and then in the heat races on Saturday, I would be looking at Stuart Friesen there. His betting odds are too short. I'm not going to go there, but he's a tremendous dirt racer. He won an Eldora in the Truck Series back in 2019. He had three straight top three finishes there, has a tremendous dirt background. He's driving in at least viable equipment, Spire Motorsports. So I'm not going to bet Friesen, because I think that the odds there are borderline outrageous, but $8,500 for a guy with his background, with his knowledge of how a dirt track races, I think that makes a lot of sense. I think that Reddick is a good play for DFS too. $7,800. I think that's going to wind up looking pretty undersalaried once all the data comes in. Alex Bowman's 82. So I think that to me, you can lean more on a dirt background and playing that angle in DFS than you can on the betting side. So Ricky Stenhouse Jr., same thing, $8,800. Friesen, Bowman, Reddick, those types of guys are pretty interesting for me as far as guys who have this background in dirt, but don't come at a prohibitive cost in daily fantasy, and it can allow you to get exposure to them without actually betting them at what I think are too short of numbers.
Yeah, interesting. I think when you see something out of the ordinary in any sport, I always find it intriguing. And so I always check Sunday night to see who ends up winning these races. Usually it's a lot of the players, a lot of the racers that Jim says are in there. And by the way, as he mentioned, super important, follow him on Twitter at Jim Sanis and all the work over at Number Fire. You're watching the show Friday. So Friday night, Saturday, you'll get a much better idea, stronger opinions. Things could change. Make sure that you follow the content over there. Thank you again, Jim, for coming on. As always, we will talk to you next week, the day after opening day. We'll get your thoughts on the first day of the baseball season next week. So thanks again for coming on.
I can't wait for baseball. Looking forward to it, Craig. Thank you.
All right, me too. Jim Sanis, right here with us on Fantasy Sports Today. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Today, it's our final check-in on the 2021 fantasy baseball draft season with our friend Gray Albright of RazBall.com. Gray and I last week were going head-to-head, toe-to-toe in the National League version of Tout Wars, which they are no longer calling an auction but calling a salary cap. So whatever you prefer is fine with me, but it was players that we were bidding on. So nonetheless, we're going to talk about it here on this show today. Gray, it is great to see you once again, and the baseball season is less than a week away. We're almost there.
I know. Thank God. Oh, man. It's almost as good a news as you paying $14 for Drew Smiley.
Okay, look, before we get into the news, which is there's some huge news in fantasy, which we're going to get to, I don't want to spend all day on our teams, and you're going to end up beating me anyway in Tout Wars. You always have. I think 4 years out of five that I've been in this thing, you have. But that was my big battle in Tout Wars in the NL was Drew Smiley. Now, we had Alex Anthopoulos here on the show. He said that Drew Smiley was the guy to get, so I said, okay, I'll make sure that I get him. And I bid two, and you bid three. And I bid four, and you bid five. And I bid five, and you bid... And we were just going back and forth
shockingly, to $14 on Drew Smiley. I paid less for Sandy Alcantara than I did for Drew Smiley. So there's got to be more to this. You have to like Drew Smiley a lot, because people always say, Gray, in these formats, well, you paid $14. Somebody wanted to pay $13, and that was you. So what are we both seeing in Drew Smiley this year?
Oh, man. Well, you know, I'm a big fan of your show, and I saw Alex was on, and he was talking about Drew Smiley. No, you know what? It's all – see, that's the other thing. Well, that's really the thing about these drafts, where, like, people look at Drew Smiley at $14, and there's no context whatsoever. And you have to realize – there was literally no other starting pitching available after Drew Smiley. So it's like, you want Drew Smiley, or do you want a random middle reliever?
Do you want a Rockies starter? That's basically all.
Exactly. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not like I necessarily, like, I did actually want Drew Smiley, but he was, but on top of that, he was also the last pitcher available that was worth anything at all. Like, do you want Drew Smiley, or do you want Kyle Freeland, who's now out for a while? Like, it's like, you don't really want, like, Drew Smiley as much as you just want a starter at that point. And then also, if you throw in the fact that Drew Smiley had a really good, I mean, granted, it was only like 25 innings last year, but it was a really good 25 innings. So, I mean, you know, on a good team, a team that should provide wins, he's not a bad bet. And yeah, I kind of like him. Not really $14 worth, but I would have paid $13.
You would have paid $13. That's what I mean. I don't understand how people can say, "How did you pay $14 for somebody?" There was two people in the draft that were willing to do it. There was two for sure. Sometimes there's three. Somebody could have went 12, but it was me.
I just want to say though, I actually really like your team. Like, all the guys you drafted from your starting pitchers. Like, I was looking at all of them. I was really trying for a bunch of your guys, like Trevor Rogers, I like a lot. Alcantara, yeah. I like a lot. Blake Snell, I love at the price you got him, which was $21. And like Joey Lucchese, who I don't necessarily love, but with Carrasco going down, that's a good gamble. So, yeah, I mean, I like your pitching staff, actually.
Well, thanks, but you beat up on me every year, so it's not going to end well for me. We know that. You're always finishing in the top three, top four. Yeah, Lucchese was like end game looking, going, oh my gosh, am I going to get three starts out of this guy in April? Okay, fine.
You know what's funny? The Dr. Roto from Sirius XM, I was talking to him over text, and he was like in the middle of the draft, and he was like, you should bid on Anthony Bass. Like, $4 should get him. And I was like, Mish is in this league. There's no way I'm getting Anthony Bass for $4. It's just not happening.
Yeah. And this was actually the most Marlins I've ever had in any of the things we've ever done. And maybe that's just more of an endorsement. It was mostly pitchers, but maybe it's more of an endorsement on them getting better. But usually I go into this thing and everyone's like, oh, you're going to end up with all the Marlins. And then they look at them, they're like, oh, you got one, or oh, you got one in the reserves. But yeah, this year I did have a handful, and I don't know what it necessarily means, but we'll see. Okay, so now over to the big news of the week and the biggest news of the spring training season. Eloy Jimenez goes out to left field, jumps over the wall, bangs up his shoulder. And then we get the news, Gray, yesterday, 5 to 6 months and surgery for Eloy Jimenez. This was, for me, the big breakout star. And regardless if you own him or not, this is just so depressing to have this happen in fantasy, right?
Yeah, no, it's brutal news. And like the way it happened, I mean, you know, these things are always fluky, but for him to even not only... Why is he in the outfield, first of all? But second of all, what's he go? He's going for a ball, a home run ball that is like 40 feet past him. Like, what are you doing, Eloy? Come on, man. Just stay on the ground. What are you doing?
Yeah, it's so crazy. I think that you were the one that tweeted out that about Zach Gallen, about leveraging the DH cost Zach Gallen, maybe two weeks, a month, who knows. They can't even get it right, Gray, in the American League. Like, you had the DH. You had it sitting there right for you. Oh, let's play around with Andrew Vaughn, first-round pick, not sure. Eloy Jimenez should be the DH.
I know. It just I was actually, I just tweeted out that, like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, and now I have Andrew Vaughn trying to play left field, and he's going to be hurt next. I mean, what are you guys doing? Like, what are the White Sox doing? Like, Andrew Vaughn should not now try to be playing left field. Like, just let Lourie Garcia go out there and let Andrew Vaughn DH. Like, stop messing around with trying to get these guys playing time in the field.
Yeah, no, and with Eloy, it made no sense. I talked about it on the show yesterday, Gray. The second that they said that they were not going to sign Edwin Encarnacion back, I thought, oh, really smart. They're going to put Eloy at DH.
Right.
And, you know, and we've seen him play the field. He's not good in left. Sorry, Eloy, he's not good in left anyway. Why are they, I mean, a championship-caliber team forcing an issue like this and now costing them in spring training? And there's no replacement in fantasy, and there's no replacement on the White Sox for him either. It is honestly... you know, a depressing situation it for is. Him
it's
as
depressing
well.
And it's maddening, just like the fact that he was even in the field. It's really upsetting. And you're right. There's really no replacement for him when it comes to fantasy teams. Like, you're just going to have to – you're going to have to do your best to try and find some middle-of-the-order power somewhere, maybe do a trade or something. It's not a good situation.
No, because, again, you get a guy that's going to hit 20 home runs and steal 20 bases, you can piece that together. This guy was yeah. one that you said, oh, I have my 30 home runs, I'm good. You know, mm-hmm. And now you have zero. That is definitely not easy. As we have gotten closer to the season, with you being involved in all of the auctions and seeing the trends, Are there players that have changed values for you, aside from, like, injury? Have there players that have changed value for you, or maybe some players that you ended up with that you didn't think that you were, that you feel differently now than you did the last time we talked 2 weeks ago? I know you weren't here last week. I wasn't here last week either because of the college basketball tournament.
Yeah. I mean, there's a handful of guys who I've just been targeting in all my drafts, like Alec Baum, for instance, who you also got in Tout Wars. Yeah. I think he's going to be he's super talented. I think he's going to give you power and he won't hurt you in average. So, like, there's guys like that who I've just been targeting the entire draft season. Eloy was actually one of them, but there's no guys that are really, like, outside of injuries, like, you know, like, for instance, Nick Anderson's velocity was down. So Diego Castillo, or maybe Peter Fairbanks, possibly for saves. Like, there's some guys like that who are inching up a little bit in my mind just because of injuries or concerns, but no one really that came into draft season and has left draft season who has changed my mind dramatically, because I feel like with spring training, you really got to put it in, like, a corner and just, like, you know, treat it with, like, kid gloves and don't get too excited. Like, the gifts are cool and all, but just because a guy is striking someone out in spring training doesn't mean they're going to do it in the regular season, you know?
Yeah. No, I totally agree. Before we go, Razzball.com for the end of the draft season and the regular season, when people log on to Razzball throughout the year, what can they expect besides funny cartoons?
Well, we have projections. We have daily projections for DFS or daily fantasy leagues, and we have weekly projections. So you can come on and look for streaming pitchers or streaming hitters, maybe to try and help you fill out for your replacement for Eloy Jimenez.
Yeah. Well, Gray, I got to say, doing the draft that we did was not the same nearly as being in person, just so much more fun. And I'm sorry that the Zoom room was a little distracting for you. I felt the same way. I took myself off the video end and just kept it on there just in case they called for me. And they ended up calling for me saying, when was it Phil Hertz, who I got Brandon Nimmo for $19, and after it was over, he goes, I tried to go 20. Craig, I have to go 20. I'm like, what in the world? But you missed out on a fun one there for sure.
Yeah, the Zoom room was like, I just preferred my music, to be honest. I was just like, it was just too much. Like, people, like, yelling, like, about Nemo, and I'm like, what?
I can't click. Can't start. All right, Gray, thank you again for coming on, and have a great opening day. I know we'll talk after that, but have a great opening day, and then I believe we'll catch up next week. We'll work on the timing of that, because a lot of baseball going on next week. But thank you for coming on.
All right, talk to you later.
Gray Albright with us from RazBall.com. He and I will be competing and going head-to-head in the National League Tout Wars again this season. So we'll be following that, and Gray and I will be talking about that league all season long. You can go to ToutWars.com and check out our teams, our leagues. You can also follow Gray on Twitter at RazBall. Follow me on Twitter at Craig Mitch. We got to take a quick timeout. Fantasy or reality coming up next to wrap up our show here on this Friday. So make sure you stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Before we get to fantasy or reality, we got to go into this NFL trade one more time here and just kind of get the landscape, Davis, as to sort of what you think's going on here. Now, it was very clear about 20 minutes ago when the Miami Dolphins traded their third overall pick in the draft to the San Francisco 49ers in exchange for the 12th overall pick and a future first-round pick, because essentially that meant that the San Francisco 49ers are going to acquire a quarterback, and in all likelihood, that was the end of Jimmy Garoppolo, until ESPN and Adam Schefter reported a few minutes ago that Jimmy Garoppolo will be back with the 49ers in 2021, and the Miami Dolphins chose to not hang on to that pick of the ninth pick, and they traded that to the Philadelphia Eagles. And then the Miami Dolphins essentially moved back up to the sixth pick in the draft. So I am all confused here, Davis. In the end, it looks like the Dolphins traded out of 3 to 9, back to 6. Eagles move from 6 back to 9 and get a first-round pick for 2022 in the process. Am I close on this?
Yeah, it was back to 12 for
12.
It was back to 12 and then up. So the way it sits now, the 49ers pick third, the Eagles pick sixth, and the Dolphins pick. Oh man, now I'm getting confused. But basically, okay. Wait, no, I got it. 49ers are third.
Yes.
The Dolphins are six, and the Eagles pick 12 now. There we go. Got her done.
Gotcha. And for the Eagles doing that, they get a Miami pick in 2022, a first round pick, right?
Yeah. So they pick up the 49ers 2022 pick that the Dolphins just got, basically, which I think doesn't matter that much to them, because the Eagles probably want Ja'Marr Chase, Devonta Smith, whichever one of them falls. They should have a pretty good chance of getting either one there. And now, I don't know how true this is, but Ian Rappaport just reported that the Eagles were trying to get up to number 3, but they only wanted to get up to number 3 for Zach Wilson. They were not interested in Fields. They were not interested in Trey Lance. And basically, it seems like it was reported to them that the Jets are locked in to taking Zach Wilson. So they did not agree to terms for the trades with the Dolphins. So another added wrinkle there.
Okay, so Let's go a step further here. So the report was that the Eagles were moving up to 3 for a quarterback. That's what you're saying?
Yes, that is what Ian Rappaport from NFL Network just reported.
Okay. I think that there may be some truth to the interest maybe in adding another quarterback. I know it does sound crazy, but I think there may be some truth to that. In addition to it, I find it very compelling that the Dolphins basically have said at this stage, they're not only riding with Tua Davis, but they have so many draft picks to field a team around this guy. And I don't know which direction they end up going. Devonta Smith, I still think, is somewhat in play. Kyle Pitts is somewhat in play. And Ja'Marr Chase is even somewhat in play. If they basically are giving Tua every weapon that they possibly could have that he did not have a year ago,
and they'll evaluate that situation for a year, then make a decision. Back to San Francisco, Davis, for a minute. Are you surprised to hear that Jimmy Garoppolo is their guy in 2021, or do you think that that's the case on March 26th and on June 26th, there's no shot? I still think that there's a chance he's gone.
No, I mean, this is what coaches always say. Remember when Josh Rosen was select, I think he was the fifth overall pick, and then the Cardinals had their number one overall pick, and they had, you know, they had Cliff saying nice things about Rosen. They did the QB1 tweet for Josh Rosen before the draft. You know, they did all those things, and they knew the whole time they were taking Kyler. No one was surprised by that. You know, everyone knew that was going to happen, and that's what's going on now. And also, they have to position themselves this way because they would like to probably get that second round pick that they sent out for Jimmy Garoppolo back, you know, whether that be from New England. I actually think Chicago should probably call up San Francisco about Jimmy Garoppolo right now. I think Pittsburgh should call them about Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, they need some sort of backup plan behind Ben Roethlisberger, who, you know, has been continuously banged up over the last few years and is entering into his age 39 season. I think there are a lot of teams that should be putting in calls about Jimmy Garoppolo, who is not great, but he is, you know, a step above the Andy Dalton, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Tyrod Taylor tier of quarterbacks. I think he's a little bit better than that.
Yeah, I think the one thing that we also have to think about here a little bit more is that, Davis, if that report is true, I know that you said that you don't know if it is true or not. And look, I don't. And look, I far be it from me to question any reporter. I hate when I get questioned, and I believe that I have a story. But I would say that if indeed the Eagles are trying to move up to the third pick in the draft, I think we need to look a little bit deeper into what that really may mean, because I don't think that they're moving up to take a quarterback to compete with Jalen Hurts. I think that there may be more to that, where that pick is headed to somebody else as well. Just something that we're going to have to keep an eye on. I'll try and dig a little bit more on that. But that does not make sense for them to bring in one of those two quarterbacks that you mentioned to compete against Jalen Hurts. That doesn't add up. So it's to move him. It's to move Hurts or to move the pick, you know, or the player. I that does not add up for me.
Yeah, I don't think I would not even expect there to be a big market for Jalen Hurts right now, because a guy like Hurts makes more sense to try and work on your roster if that's what you have, right? He's on that rookie contract. You can kind of build around his strengths, because, you know, Jalen Hurts is not a conventional quarterback, you know, very similar to what the Bills had to do for Josh Allen, right? They got receivers who fit very well with Josh Allen. They built around him. And it's what Miami, I think, is doing right now with Tua. So I would expect that if the Eagles are moving up and they're not, I don't imagine that a quarterback is in play for them at six. I think that probably what they will do is they will take a wide receiver or they will take an offensive lineman, something to make the evaluation of Jalen Hurts a little bit easier, because that's where you get stuck with these rookie quarterbacks, right? When they have a terrible infrastructure around them, bad coaching, bad offensive line, wide receivers who are not playmakers, then you throw your hands up and say, well, is this guy bad, or did we just put him in terrible context, right? Josh Allen looked terrible, basically, for 2 years until last year. Then he was an MVP candidate. And Sam Darnold still has his believers because the Jets' offensive line, the weapons, the coaching has been so bad. He had mono, right? I mean, there are so many excuses you can make for Sam Darnold. And I think what the Dolphins are doing is really smart, because they are going to have their answer for Tua at the end of this year. They sign Will Fuller. They are going to draft a tackle or Jamar Chase or Devonta Smith with this pick they get. Maybe Kyle Pitts, you know, but they definitely are going to draft someone to make Tua's life easier. And they're going to have their answer at the end of the year. So I think that should be what the Eagles are trying to do as well.
And the Eagles have which pick now? 12?
Yes. Yes, 12. Correct.
Okay. Hypothetically speaking, if the Eagles were to move up to the third pick, and they, okay, so if the Eagles were, Davis, if they were to move up to the third pick, and they took the third pick and Jalen Hurts, and Deshaun Watson was completely cleared of everything, would that be enough to acquire Deshaun Watson for Philadelphia?
Well, so then I think that probably would be if the New York Jets decide we really want Wilson, we would rather have Wilson than trade the number two pick, future first, you know, these extra picks that they are, that they have accumulated across the way. Cause I think that Jets offer is better, because I think Zach Wilson, probably the allure of what Zach Wilson could be is probably better than the allure of what Jalen Hurts could be. Cause you're going to have to build a very specific type of team for Jalen Hurts. And I think that rebuilding organizations don't want to paint themselves into that corner. And again, from everything that I'm hearing, and I think the trades today reflect this, NFL teams like BYU Zach Wilson more than they like Fields, more than they like Trey Lance. And I think there are a lot of reasons that go into that. And, you know, I'm not a quarterback guru, so I can't say, oh, you know, Wilson does this, Fields doesn't do this, Fields does this, Wilson, you know, whatever is going on there. But I think the Eagles could get it done if the Texans feel their back is up against the wall there. But I think at this point, I it sounds silly to say after we just saw three huge blockbuster trades, but I think the musical chairs are going to stop right now. That is my assumption.
So listen, I'm just throwing the possibility out there of Philadelphia having Watson, Houston having Hurts, and having the third overall pick in the draft. It's just us guessing, but just something at least to chew on for the time being. Okay, with all that being said, let's knock out some fantasy reality before we wrap up here. Let's start off with Lon Kruger, the former head coach in college basketball of several different teams. He's only one of three coaches to lead five NCAA tournament programs to the big dance, 674 career wins. I covered the Florida Gators in college when Lon Kruger was there. He took them to the Final Four. I went to the Final Four, one of the first ever big media events I had ever been to in my life, covering it as media. Lon Kruger, fantasy reality here, Davis, most underrated coach of all time.
I don't know about of all time, but I did a little bit of research on Lon Kruger today. He intersected in both of our lives, Craig. He was born about 45 minutes from where I grew up, and we went to the same college. He went to Kansas State. And coached at Kansas State as well. So intersected with my life at college, intersected with your life at college. So just a little nugget. And then also coached my favorite college basketball team in the Oklahoma Sooners. I'm not going to say he's the most underrated coach of all time, but he coached for 40 years, and a lot of Oklahoma teams played over their heads. He was a great recruiter. So he is underrated, but not the most overrated of all time.
All right, let's move on. J.C. Horn, the up-and-coming receiver for South Carolina, headed to the NFL. Fantasy or reality, Davis, J.C. Horn will make more Pro Bowls than his dad, Joe Horn. That's a good one.
I even remember who Joe Horn is. I'm gonna say this is a fantasy, because it's very hard to even make one Pro Bowl, right? There are a lot of great cornerbacks in the NFL. I'll say fantasy.
Yeah, I'll say fantasy too. Joe Horn was a really, really good wide receiver in the NFL, and four Pro Bowls is a lot in the league, especially for a wide receiver. All right, let's move on to baseball. Matt Harvey, he's going to be in the Orioles rotation to start the season. Fantasy reality, he'll win five games as a starter in Birdland.
Fantasy. I don't even know if he'll make five starts. Maybe he made the rotation, good for him. Love a good comeback story, but No, thank you.
Yeah, Felix Hernandez has been out. Matt Harvey's ready to go, so he says, for the 2021 season. Five wins is the question, huh? Five wins? I got to say fantasy here. I do think he'll win a game for the Orioles. I do. I think he may even win two. But no, I don't think he's going to win five, although it is great to see him back in the big leagues for sure, no doubt. All right, so we've had a busy ending to our show today. How about that, with all of these trades going on in the NFL with no players, all draft picks in three different teams? A lot of ramifications from that. I'm sure we'll be covering it coming up later today. Scott Farrell, Coast to Coast, with more on these big trades in the NFL. I'm sure Adam Kaplan will be making his appearance on our channel today. But we got to go. So coming up next, we have the Sports Grid 60 with a final thought, and then we'll be back on Monday here at noon for another edition of Fantasy Sports Today. So stay on the grid with us. Sports Grid 60 is coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Frank Nick, along with Davis Maddock, huge trade in the NFL today that we're covering for you here on Sports Grid as the Philadelphia Eagles, Miami Dolphins, and San Francisco 49ers trading picks all around to each other. Bottom line is Dolphins add a pick, Eagles add a pick in the future, and the both move down, and the 49ers are the team that moves up, it looks like, to draft a quarterback in 2021. Let's turn it over to Davis. He's got the Sports Grid 60 as we end. Davis?
Philadelphia, Howie Roseman, we know you guys love the show, right? You watch the show. Please give Jalen Hurts a real and honest chance. I know he looked brutal. Well, he didn't look brutal, but he didn't look like the best quarterback in the NFL in his brief stint as the starting quarterback for the Eagles last year. I promise you this dude can play, but more importantly, he is going to be so good for fantasy football with his rushing, and people don't want to believe it. You're just going to be able to get him so cheap in your drafts and your dynasty leagues, and he is going to be so good for fantasy football. Don't trade him. Don't trade up for Trey Lance. Don't trade up for Justin Fields. Just give us 1 year, 16 games of Jalen Hurts, the incredible fantasy football experience in 2021.
I think they may trade him. Story for another day. All right, I mean, your PSA 10s, Davis, you may have to start pawning those. I'm going to go to San Francisco here, but not specifically on the 49ers. Another lesson is learned today. You know the lesson I always teach on the show about closers, not drafting closers. When you hear any of the NFL reporters and insiders say that they have an immovable contract and there's too much dead cap money, it is never true. Ever, ever, ever true. Wentz can't get traded. He gets dealt. They'll never move Brock Osweiler. He gets moved. Jared Goff, no shot. Too much money. He's on the move too. Don't believe it when you hear it. Jimmy G, he's going to be gone too. I don't know how they do it. I don't understand the cap. But the next time that I hear that a player can't get moved in the NFL, the next day he's gone. Thank you to James at LTN, for Brett, Danny, and Ryan, my co-host, Davis Maddock. I'm Craig Mish. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the tournament game. See you next time.